Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What's everybody yelling about now? Are you with the press? Okay. Well, we can do the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you want to? Wait. Hold on. No, wait. I thought we already did the pledge. We didn't do the pledge yet? You want to lead the Pledge of Allegiance? Go ahead. All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands.
All right. I guess Obama wants so badly to be president that he'll even recite the Pledge of Allegiance, thereby risking alienating his base. I know that it's alien to him to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and certainly his friends like Mr. Ayers and his other wonderful friends from the old days of putting up posters around Chicago. Even his friends in Hawaii, I guess, reading the pledges are considered a blasphemy. Anyway, that's the nature of the beast here in America today. Trivia. No, don't discuss illegal immigration. Don't discuss the flood of illegals in America. Don't discuss the broken currency. Don't discuss the fact that America is near bankrupt. Don't discuss the fact that Bush permits Mexican trucks to roll across America against the will of the people and the Congress. Don't discuss the fact that Nancy Pelosi is increasingly acting like a dictator. Don't discuss any of the real facts instead of deal with a thing like this, which I consider to be absurd. But okay, there it is, part of the game. Strangely enough, I have wide support in America across, I would say, all levels of society. And what I'm about to read you will shock you, because it shocked me. I received a letter which was going to go into the Michael Savage Museum with signatures, which I have right in my hands, right in my hand, of a group of prisoners at the Pulaski Correctional Institute. These are hand-signed. It says the name of the individual in prison, the state ID number, and there are 100 of them who signed a petition at the Pulaski Correctional Center in Dublin, Virginia, sent to my radio station, and it reads as follows. Dear Michael, greetings from Virginia, our nation's birthplace of freedom, where since 1995 there is no parole for petty nonviolent offenses. Drug abuse education is incarceration, and the mere thought of using marijuana as an alternative for pain relief is considered, like liberalism, to be a mental disorder. Early this week, while observing the news, I became aware of your situation. You were being vilified over comments made that had been taken out of context. The radio station that airs your fine show locally was considering replacing your time slot with a lesser talent. Knowing you have many fans here behind the fence, Dr. Savage, I decided to get a few signatures. Before I was finished, not surprisingly, it turned out to be well over 100 signatures in this prison, all your supporters who stand behind you in the Savage Nation. He then sent the petitions around the country and et cetera and so on. And then he gave me a recipe for grilling chicken, which I don't know why, but thank you very much. I don't want to read your name at the Pulaski Correctional Institute because I don't want any repercussions from the guards. And, you know, I don't know how these things work over there. Dear sirs, we are writing you in a show of support for Michael Savage and his radio show, The Savage Nation, which airs on your radio station. We all enjoy the show's political intelligence as well as the social insights and humor of its host, Dr. Michael Savage. We consider The Savage Nation the best program airing on free radio today, and superior to much of what's broadcast on cable television. Thank you for your time. Sincerely, inmates at Pulaski Correctional Institute. Well, you know, it's pretty nice to see. And, you know, I have a comment to make because I made it before, and I'll make it again. We have the highest proportion of inmates in the world to our population. We have the highest number of inmates in prison in the world proportionate to our population. What does that tell you about the country we're living in? Is the country a police state? You know, you could be next for a minor infraction. Here's another email I got. Actually, this is a letter. And I suppose I could read the man's name. He is from Paramus, New Jersey. He listens to me on WOR in New York. He's a fellow Queens College graduate, and I'll read you his letter. Dear Dr. Savage, and I often find myself in agreement with your views and in some instances very much in disagreement. However, considering the free speech imperative, that's what makes the world go round. In this latest flap of yours, I find our positions are similar, and I support your stance and comments 100%. Yet the cabal between the medical profession and the drug companies is making it out to be a case for more drug use and therefore a money issue, not a health issue. When you prey on families and children, you are committing the worst of crimes, he says, of course, referring to the drug companies. And he goes on. And he says, you know, where are the patriots? He says there are Democrats and Republicans, but it's either or, no patriots, just self-serving factions and groups masking as Americans. Your stance on borders, language, and culture is right on. How can we have a melting pot when the political machine favors individual languages? New York City just agreed to post everything in six languages. That's going to encourage learning English? It's divide and conquer to the nth degree. These idiots are doing more to destroy America than Karl Marx, Lenin, and Stalin could have dreamed of. Sincerely, C.A. from New Jersey. There are many other good letters, and I don't have the time right now to read them all, but I want to thank you for sending them. I never see the hate letters. They get thrown out before I see them. So if you want to waste ink, go ahead. I've had a policy for many years. Disagreement letters, yes. Hate letters, no. I don't need to see them. You can just, you know, play them for yourself. 1-800-449-8255. I noticed that Nancy Pelosi wants to bring back the Fairness Doctrine, as does Henny Stoyer and the other far leftists, out-of-touch Democrats. The very same crowd that has wrecked America now wants to destroy free speech. Now, you got to ask yourself, why do the Democrats want the so-called Fairness Doctrine? To begin this discussion, we have to go back to a movie from 1966 based upon Ray Bradbury's novel, Fahrenheit 451, where the state was officially burning books. So let's hear clips 2 and 3.
Tell me, why do you burn books?
Huh? Well, it's a job like any other. Good work, with lots of variety. Monday we burn Miller, Tuesday Tolstoy, Wednesday Walt Whitman, Friday Faulkner, and Saturday and Sunday Schopenhauer and Sartre. Books are just so much rubbish. They have no interest.
Then why do some people still read them, although it's so dangerous?
Precisely because it is forbidden.
Why is it forbidden?
Because it made people unhappy.
Do you really believe that?
Oh, yes. Books disturb people. They make them antisocial.
Yeah, books disturb people. It makes them antisocial. It's chilling to listen to this because that could be Nancy Pelosi, Henny Stoyer, and the other Neanderthals in the Democrat Party. And how you liberals who once cheered Fahrenheit 451 cannot understand who you have become disturbs me deeply. How you so-called liberals can now be champing at the bit to initiate fascism is astonishing to me. But then again, many things astonish me in the country that I live in that I love very dearly. 1-800-449-8255 kicks off the show. Any caller from around the country, michaelsavage.com. I have some great articles up there, and we'll go to the bottom leads. MIT-trained Al-Qaeda associate arrested in Afghanistan. That's right. Another wonderful, wonderful, wonderful immigrant from the Middle East, this one from Pakistan, Aifa Siddiqui, came to America, was trained as a graduate student at MIT, because you know what the liberal professors love. They don't like native-born Americans. They like foreigners in the schools for obvious reasons. Well, she is arrested now, accused with assisting key al-Qaeda operatives now detained in Guantanamo Bay. Here's another wonderful story for you liberals to show you what you've done to this country. Lawyers from Mexican say that an execution of him violates the treaty. Now, here is a man who took part in the gang rape, the beating and strangling of two teenage girls a number of years ago, but condemned prisoner Jose Medellin found two ambulance-chasing vermin with law degrees who are now trying to shop the case to the federal courts to keep this killer, murderer, rapist from the death chamber for his part in the gang rape, beating, and strangling of two teenage girls And you liberals cheer that, don't you? Don't you see who you've become? Can't you once understand, can't you strip off the mask of hatred and realize that you really hate yourself because all of your so-called progressive values are values of hatred? Don't you understand that you have become the fascist that you have feared all your life? Canadian bus cannibal says, please kill me. The man accused of stabbing, beheading, and cannibalizing another man on a Greyhound bus in Canada, who, by the way, emigrated to Canada from China. Well, read the story. It's up on michaelsavage.com. U.S. headed toward bankruptcy, says top budget committee Republican. That's a great story. Oh, you got to read that problem. It says that we're headed toward bankruptcy. The ranking Republican on the House Budget Committee said the U.S. government is headed toward bankruptcy if it stays in its current fiscal course. Now, this is a brave man. This is a man who stepped out of line with the Bush administration. Vitamin C injections slow cancer in mice. Very important story for those of you who grew up in the health food movement when I did. Because as you know, I have used vitamin C for over 40 years, and I know that's why I'm still living. And I know many of you, of course, were enamored of the great genius Linus Pauling and never believed the lies of the Lilliputians who were hired by the drug companies to try to debunk Linus Pauling. But a new study says that high doses of vitamin C injections, now I emphasize injections, reduced the size of tumors and slowed cancerous growths by about 50% in laboratory mice. That's an amazingly important story. It will be buried because vitamin C is very inexpensive to make. It cannot be patented. That is why the story will never make it to your local newspaper. Next down on michaelsavage.com is an interesting story with a picture of the beautiful, beautiful Transamerica Tower in San Francisco. And I said, will SF Stoops rename it the Transgender Tower? I'll be right back. Savage. So we're sitting here watching a slow fascism take over America. And strangely enough, it's not coming from the Republican side. They're only interested in raping the Treasury. They could care less about, First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment. All they care about is how much money they can gorge down their gullets. But the Democrats are ideologically communists at their core, and they want to kill free speech. That is why I played for you Fahrenheit 451 from 1966, written by Ray Bradbury, who's an amazingly, well, let's just say his mind was so far ahead of its time. Let me tell you this. If you never read, first of all, what is Fahrenheit 451 referred to? What does that mean? I think that's the temperature at which paper burns. Isn't that what it is? Yes. Okay. And Fahrenheit 451 takes place in an unspecified future time. Now, remember now, 1954 is when the book was written. The movie was 66. So in 54, Ray Bradbury writes the book about a future time. Now listen to this very carefully. In a hedonistic and rapidly anti-intellectual America that has completely abandoned self-control, filled with lawlessness in the streets, from teenagers crashing cars into people to firemen at Montag Station who set their mechanical hound to hunt various animals for the simple and grotesque pleasure of watching them die, anyone caught reading books is at the minimum confined to a mental hospital while the books are burned. Illegal books mainly include famous works of literature such as Whitman and Faulkner, as well as the Bible and all historical texts. This is exactly where the Democrats will lead us if you don't stand up to them. And I'm appealing, of course, to you progressives, because you yourself should understand of all people what we mean by a hedonistic and rapidly anti-intellectual America, which you, of course, are guilty of having brought about in this country. Anyway, I don't want to read you the whole plot, but I'll read you one more sentence. Captain Beatty claims that society, in its search for happiness and an attempt to minimize cultural offenses, that's political correctness, through political correctness, brought about the suppression of literature as an act of self-censorship, and that the government merely took advantage of the situation. Well, I guess it's too intellectual to even explain. I would suggest you look into Fahrenheit 451, or if you don't read anymore, at least get the movie and show it to your children, because that's the chilling view of what Pelosi and company would like to do to this country. Here's another story for you that's a little more political. Remarkable shift away from GOP registration. In what appears to be a major shift in the political landscape, Democrats are registering significantly higher numbers of voters than their Republican rivals. And in many states, the increase in voters turning their backs on both parties and registering as independents has skyrocketed. That's by Phil Brennan. And I got to tell you something. I take credit for it. I started the independent movement in this country. Well, let us put it to you this way. I'm largely responsible for the large growth in the independent movement in this country. And I want to thank you very much for understanding that the two-party system, while at one time possibly of some value to most of us, at this time I'm afraid both parties have become out for their own interests, not for the interests of the American people. And on that wonderful note, having made millions of new friends just now in the Savage Nation, we'll move on to some callers. First, the phone number again, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-8255 from any jail in America. The website is michaelsavage.com. Let's begin in Maine. Joseph, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Michael Savage, first of all, I want to say I'm a long-time listener and a first-time caller. I work in law enforcement. I work in corrections and law enforcement. I've seen firsthand district attorneys and defense attorneys spend more time, energy, and effort in keeping people out of jail than they do putting people in jail. And the ironic part is our jails are still overcrowded. The problem is when the liberals take over the lawmaking and the penalties for the crimes, they don't match.
So you're saying the wrong people are in prison?
The wrong people aren't in prison, but I think that, you know, the crimes are supposed to, you know, penalties are supposed to deter crimes, and it doesn't work out that way. You know, people
aren't,
you know,
aren't you seeing that the majority of prisoners are in there for minor drug offenses?
I think we spend more time putting minor offenses in jail. We spend more money putting two Border Patrol agents in jail than nabbing the guy that's responsible for the drugs to begin with.
Then why did George Bush come out in defense of the drug dealer, not in defense of Ramos and Compion, even though 100 congressmen and senators, including Dianne Feinstein, said the sentence of 11 years against the Border Patrol agents was excessive? Why has the president chosen to back the Mexican drug dealer? Can you figure that one out? Get back to me on that one. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So here are some questions for this Savage Nation. Are there too many nonviolent prisoners in America? Is the American justice system broken on purpose? If you're a former or current convict, why do you listen to the Savage Nation? Question two on the fairness doctrine, so-called. Why do Obama and Pelosi want the fairness doctrine? McCain says he's against the fairness doctrine. Do you believe him? What would talk radio sound like under the fairness doctrine? That's an interesting question. Now, of course, here's the juiciest story of the day. As you well know, there was a controversy as of yesterday, it may be over by now, of Tyson Chicken replacing Labor Day with a Muslim holiday. I was stunned to go on the television set today to turn it on Fox News and see a verminous, rat liberal vermin from Hades supporting the decision of Tyson Chicken to replace Labor Day with a Muslim holiday. I want you to listen to clip 27 as you listen to this rat liberal on why it's good to eliminate Labor Day. Listen to 27.
Christmas is for Christians. The reality is now that we have Muslims, and they are a contributing part of our society. And the fact that this company and this union got together and decided to be progressive, this is America. We welcome people of all diversity and all religions. They should be applauded. This is America more than apple pie and more than any holiday.
Here's a guy whose grandfather probably fled the Tsar of Russia. Grandfather came to America and kissed the ground, was glad to be here, to have religious freedom. And look what the grandson has become. Take a look at the voice. Listen to the voice of what the grandson of the immigrant became. I'm sure it's only two, three generations ago that the grandfather came here. And take a look what years in America and a law degree has done to the mind of this human being who would take this position, spitting in the face of America and America's traditions. I just shake my head at the red diaper doper babies who are given a voice on our television outlets. It's astonishing to me the degree of sedition and traitorous behavior that's going on in this country. So there it is. Now let's play the next clip about the Tyson Company in Shelbyville. I guess it's, where is Alabama? Yeah, Clone. Yeah, let's listen to the report with WSMB-TV.
1,000 or so people at the Tyson Chicken Plant will no longer be able to spend Labor Day with their families. Instead, the union voted to replace Labor Day with a Muslim holiday. Many are calling the move un-American, but the company says it is something else.
I don't think it's right. I really don't think it's right. It shouldn't happen. I mean, I think we're
right,
American.
Well, you got the drift.
American.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to listen to the ignorant, unwashed people and their opinion. If you wanted to listen to them, they'd have a radio show, but obviously no one wants to listen to them. That's why they don't have a radio show. That's why they're plucking chickens. So I could ask you what you think of it. What do you think of this verminous rat left-wing lawyer saying that Christmas is for Christians and that it's very multicultural and progressive to eliminate Labor Day and have a Muslim holiday? Listen to clip 26 of the rat liberal.
I think it's being done based on reality. The reality is that this company has a large number of employees that observe this holiday, and why not exchange it for Labor Day? Labor Day was created at the end of the 19th century by labor unions. The Central Labor Union was responsible for it, so why not swap it off? Remember, they also give their workers their birthdays off.
Right.
I mean,
okay,
so this is obviously a flexible company and a flexible union, and they're rolling with the times,
okay,
man. That's the
Randy,
way to go.
They're rolling with the times, man. That's the way to go. I'd like you to roll with the times. I'd like to roll you with the times, you rat bum, you. You're a disgrace to your grandfather. Look what you became in this country, you loudmouth mouthpiece, you. That's who they put on Fox News for his opinion? Pooh! Pooh, if spit could come through the air, through the electrons, I can tell you I'm puking up in this guy. Makes me sick. Sick! Sick, these rats! These traitors. Now, unto itself, I believe in religious holidays. Let me make that very clear. However, if you want to give Muslim employees a holiday, because there are so many Muslims who are religious and they want the day off, well, you can give them the day off, but not Labor Day. What you do is you give them a day off, but not Labor Day. You don't throw out a traditional American holiday that celebrates workers and workers' rights, by the way, for any religious holiday. What you do is you give them a separate holiday for their religious beliefs, but you don't destroy Labor Day. Do you understand that? You probably understand that. Now I'll go to the callers. That's all. I don't know if people care about anything anymore. Truthfully, I'm getting the feeling that unless you do the dumb thing of, oh, Obama bad, McCain a great war hero. McCain is great. Obama's bad. Those Democrats are bad. The Republicans are good. I mean, this was pioneered by the biggest con artist in the world, and he's done very well with it because basically the audiences are morons. Fundamentally, the audiences are morons, and they like to root for a team. Either it's Team A or Team B, and you cannot deal with subtlety. I mean, unfortunately, I'm reaching a point of no return where I'm starting to have contempt fundamentally for the American people. Because when I see people getting so involved with the Democrat-Republican game, I have contempt for the American people who buy into this garbage. And I'm incapable of simplifying all of the topics today. Not that I'm such a great genius, don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying in a way, but I am saying something else. What I'm saying is, how can you make it as simple as Democrats versus Republicans when they're both in on fundamentally the same game? How can you make it that way? How can you make it that way? How can you do it? How can you take it? I don't get it. So I'll take callers of my own kind in my own way, and that's what I'll do. Stephen in Montana, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mr. Savage. How are you today?
Please go forward.
The reason I called, I heard your comment about if you're a former convict or whatever. And I was incarcerated when I was younger. I had a horrible meth problem. And I listen to your show because I feel that you not only say the things that people need to hear, but you usually say the things that are harder to say. But somehow you find ease saying them. I mean, a lot of the things that you say, people don't want to hear because it's reality. And reality is some people really want to hear. They want to hear the sugar-coated version of it.
Stephen, that's exactly right. And, you know, you turn on television, they have so-called reality shows, which are really unreality shows. How could you have a reality show when they know there's a TV crew in their house?
Exactly.
By definition, it's an unreality show, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, I'm a reality show. This is like having a wire into the soul of a man. That's what the Savage Nation is. But, Stephen, if I were alone in my thoughts and my views, would I have the audience that I have?
No, you wouldn't.
All right, so what I say is thought by probably tens of millions of Americans who understand what's really going on. You know, thanks for the call. I really got to tell you, that's the whole thing. So there it is. What else is in the news that is of worthy? That's worthy. More than 125,000 gorillas discovered in region of Congo. Now that's an interesting story, both because I don't know. I guess I'm soft for gorillas, and I send money to the Gorilla Fund. I feel terrible when I see people butchering them. I mean, I'd like to personally go and shoot anyone who kills a gorilla or an elephant. If I could, I'd line them up against the wall and kill them. I would. Let's say I would volunteer for the firing squad to shoot anybody who kills an innocent gorilla, a lowland gorilla, or anyone who shoots an elephant. I would gladly volunteer to be on the firing squad to kill them because I think it's the most cowardly thing in the world. It reminds me of the American Rich who used to ride in trains through the wild, through the plains, and shoot bison or buffalo from railroad cars and leave them to rot on the prairie. That's what I think of that. More than 125,000 Western lowland gorillas have been discovered deep in the forest of the Republic of Congo, at least doubling their estimated population. And that's great news. Primatologists say the newly discovered gorilla population now puts their estimated numbers at between 175,000 and 225,000. And that's very interesting. The news was greeted with excitement at the International Primatological Society Congress on the way to Edinburgh, Scotland. Well, that's great. So it shows you that science doesn't know everything yet. Do you know that we have 43 new species that have been discovered since the year 2000? Now, of course, scientists are still concerned that monkeys, apes, and lemurs face extinction around the world, and that's primarily due to the loss of habitat, that is cutting down forests in order to be able to plant their crops, but also from big monocultures, a lot of it from logging, a lot of it from mining, a lot from gold mines and things of that nature. And I don't want to go into now to the gloomy part of the picture. We all know about that. It's heartbreaking. There's nothing I can do about it. But when you see the picture of the gorilla family, if that doesn't reach out to you and touch a part of you, I think you're dead inside. You know, honest to God. So, I mean, it's a positive story in a way. How do these poor creatures live? I don't even know. How does a gorilla live at all? I don't even understand it. How does he have the guts to get up every morning to protect his mate, to protect his babies, and stave off the poachers who kill him in the most horrendous way, cutting off his hands and leaving him to die in the forest? Or you look at what some of the Asian poachers are doing to endangered species. They should be lined up and shot. And any poacher, by the way, of an endangered species should be tried, and if found guilty, definitively guilty, should be executed on international public television. And it should be pay-per-view, and the money should go for the preservation of the wild animals. You know, that's how I feel about it. And I guess this is out of tune with the so-called Republican radio shows who say, let them all die, you know, eat them. Well, I love gorilla meat. In fact, on our Gulfstream, we proudly serve gorilla paw on our Gulfstream. We love gorilla paw with our cigars. As we defecate on the flyover states, the little people who believe me. Chicago, Alonzo, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, thank you for truth. Thank you for unbiased rhetoric. Thank you for not being a racist that most blacks would have you have that are not have the psyche to discern truth from fiction. Dr. Savage, I've listened to you for the last 5 years. And in the last 5 years, I've had an awakening. You are against anyone that is not educated, anyone that is against America, anyone that does not have the psyche to see that this Obama character is a man-made figure, anyone who sees your prejudice is even against McCain. That he is just the opposite of McCain, but the only thing is, he's trying to appeal to the conservative party. I am an American of color.
But Alonzo, you and I both know that McCain would be better than Obama, but just by a hair, number one. And also, we don't know what McCain is actually going to do, number two. And number three, McCain is such a compromiser that he's just liable to go along with the Democrat Party on so many things that I am very concerned about this man. That's why I can't endorse him.
Yes, sir, but he's the best of the lesser two evils.
Well, so this is what we've gotten now for how many elections? The lesser of two evils? Aren't we entitled to someone who's the better of two evils? Like a third choice instead of the lesser of two evils? How about the better of two evils? You know, if this keeps up, well, I'm not going to finish the sentence. I got enough trouble right now. There's no point in saying what I was about to say. The phone number I will not give you because every line is sold out as usual by now. And I know what got to you finally. It was the rat vermin left-wing civil rights attorney supporting the decision of Tyson Chicken to throw out Labor Day with a Muslim holiday. I'll be right back. Savage. Now, as I told you, it's the so-called liberal progressives who are initiating fascism in America. And there's no better example of that than San Francisco's mayor, Gavin Newsom, who has announced new green building codes. Now, here's a city in the midst of a homicide epidemic. Here's a city awash with illegal aliens in gun battles in the streets. Here's a city with garbage in the streets. And he's concerned about carbon dioxide emissions. And so he puts out mandates. Now, you got to listen to what this man says in clip four. Listen to the mind of a liberal.
What is beyond me is why everyone would already be doing this. It doesn't cost you much more to do it, and it saves you all kinds of money to operate your building. There's every incentive in the world. That incentive is called common sense to already do it. But it requires some mandates in order to get people to do what's in their best interest sometimes. It's called change.
It requires mandates in order to get people to do what, quote, what's in their best interests. Now listen to the mind of a liberal. He knows better than you what's in your best interest. He knows what you should eat. He knows what you should smoke. He knows what you should drink. He knows where you should live. He knows how you should live. He knows whether you should drive, how you should drive. In other words, he knows what's best for you. Isn't that the American way? No, it's the opposite of the American way. The American way was to replace a monarchy that told you exactly what to do from morning till evening, from birth, from cradle to grave. But now we've come full circle where you have little men like Gavin Newsom, a spoiled brat of a man who never grew up, in my opinion, a child, who actually thinks that people require mandates in order to get them to do what's in their own best interests. The more I analyze these liberals, the more I realize that many of them are not inherently evil. What they are undeveloped adolescents. They have not grown up. They've never been exposed to real life. They live in their own world. And they don't even know, for example, in this case, that there's a homicide epidemic. They could be told there is, but they could say, the heck with it, it'll go away. No one will remember the killing of Mr. Bologna and his two grown sons by the illegal alien I harbored. Nah, nothing will happen because I'm protected from above. I have big support in the Democrat Party, and the U.S. attorney will never touch me. Does that make it right? Does that make it right? Does that make it right? Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right at all. But it's going to get worse. Now it gets worse. In clip five, listen to this of Newsom.
We have to keep stretching, even though we haven't done mandates on recycling. We're at 70%. But to get to that next level, we've got to do a little bit more. So this is part of those stretch goals, about pushing people a little bit farther and a little bit further.
Pushing people farther and further. You know what's best for them? Then why don't you stop the homicide epidemic? You know what's best for them? Then why don't you deport the illegals and stop shielding them under the so-called sanctuary laws, which are illegal? You don't know the first thing, Gavin. You don't know jack about anything. You do what you're told to do by the people who put you where you are, and everybody knows that, and it's getting sickening. It's getting sickening, and if you think you're going to be governor, you're mistaken. If you think that you could be governor, you are mistaken, Mr. Newsom. The people of the state may be liberal, but they're not psychotic, and they're not ready for you. Washington, D.C., Meredith, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, one comment on the irony of the Tyson's chicken story. Real Muslims won't even eat Tyson's chicken because it's not halal. So if Tyson's wants to alienate every Christian who eats chicken, fine with me. I'm a Christian, and I'm going strictly with Purdue.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we read that Ford Motor Company had a $9 billion loss in the last quarter. Isn't it true that Ford has been boycotted by Christian groups because of their open support of the homosexual agenda?
If you say so.
Okay. Yes, I say so. Yes, I say so. The Christian community is the majority community in America, and they're very powerful. Unfortunately, they don't have organization anymore. They did when Ralph Reed was in charge of the evangelical movement. The Christian evangelicals were a very powerful political force. Ralph Reed left, and frankly, the evangelical movement is disorganized. That's the problem right now. They need to be organized. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Tyson chicken, halal chicken. You know, a Muslim would eat kosher chicken, for example. Koshered by a rabbi because it meets halal laws, which I think is interesting and quite interesting, interestingly enough, that Orthodox Muslims would eat food that is declared to be kosher by rabbis. Because as you well know, most Muslims are peace-loving in America. That's absolutely true. It's only a small band of fanatics that are being watched by America. Houston, Texas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for what you do.
Okay.
Get it. I just, I'm a little sick to my stomach about this whole Tyson chicken thing. It bothers me quite a bit. I happen to be the grandson of an immigrant from Palermo, Sicily, came across here in the 40s. And, you know, I'll tell you what, he came over here to assimilate, to become an American, because he was proud of that. And it's sad.
I know that's the same with my grandfather. It's true for all of us Euro-Americans. All of us Americans of European ancestry know that our immigrant ancestor, no matter what the point of immigration was, came here to become American, not to convert America to the old ways. Why is that not true about this wave of immigrants from Somalia, for example? Think about that.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Long ago, a couple of 100,000 Berliners made a lot of noise for my opponent. I'll take the roar of 50,000 Harleys any day, my friend.
It is Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. God bless America and its machines. God bless the internal combustion engine. God bless speed and rubber and gasoline. God bless everything I grew up on. And if you think you're going to put me in a green car, you're mistaken. You can ride in the green car. Oh, and by the way, the next time you fly to Montana, let me know if you're using banana peels in the engines of the Google plane in the 767. I know you're Mr. Green. I love all the greens flew to the wedding in Montana in the airplane owned by the Google boys, the 767. I mean, God bless them. They earned it. The part that bothers me is that, A, they're full of you-know-what, because you know what they do behind closed doors is exactly what you do. And, B, I still want to know how the Google boys got permission to park their 767 at a federal NASA airbase in Moffett Field. I still want to know who was smeared, how they did it, and why there's been no federal investigation. How could this go on right under your eyes here in the Bay Area? The people who are so concerned about being green, they let a private corporation, Google, park its personal 767 at NASA Ames Air Station, and they have the nerve to say that it's being used in part for research. I mean, I've never heard anything like this. Is there no limit to, I don't know what the right word to use here. I know exactly the right word to use, but I won't use it. Let us put it to you this way. You got the picture without my filling out the picture. I gave you the John Nagy version. I gave you the paint by numbers. You can paint it in yourself. A note for those of you who know who I'm talking about. There's a local talk show host here who was taken off the air for child porn issues. His name is Bernie Ward. And his sentencing will be on August 28th, which is, strangely enough, the last day of the Democratic Convention. We think that it was picked specifically so that you wouldn't be paying attention. But we will be paying attention. Mark it in your calendars. The sentencing for Bernie Ward, convicted of transferring several pornographic images of little children, the sentencing will be on August 28th, which is the last day of the Democrat convention. So I suppose they're trying to, you know, blind you with the balloons. I don't know about you. How many days till the 91 days until the election? How many days until Christmas? I think I'm starting to lose my mind from all of this. Because I'm starting to hum Christmas tunes.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
What would America be like without Christmas? How could this country even conceive of becoming a nation without Christmas and the Christmas season and the holidays? Answer, it is. Because the left-wing vermin want a Marxist America where there are no religious holidays, except, of course, you know which religion they will accept. And, of course, there's a reason for that as well. Anyway, I'm humming Christmas tunes here. What else is in the news? I'm bored of the news. I think I need a vacation. Psychiatrists go away in August. Why shouldn't I go away in August? Don't psychiatrists take off the entire month of August traditionally? Although now that they're drug peddlers mainly, I don't think there's any time off. They can keep peddling pills through the whole month. Traditionally, they went away in August. Don't the French go away for the whole month of August? Well, I'm neither a psychiatrist nor French, so therefore, well, I did look into going to the only place on Earth that interests me, which is the Antarctic. I looked up the Lindblad National Geographic Explorer tours. It really looked great. The problem is you have to fly to Santiago, Chile, so that ruled it out for me. From Miami, no less. I'd have to fly across the country from San Francisco, stay in some godforsaken hotel in Miami, already be delirious from the flight, between the coughing and the luggage and the bad food and the sense of oppression and the lowlifes putting wands between my crotch. Now it's overnight in Miami, then the next morning you wake up, and now you have to fly nonstop to Santiago, again an overnight in a hotel in Chile, the next day you're on a ship crossing into the McMurdo Sound. I don't know, but it looked interesting to me. New Georgia, the Falkland Islands. I've always wanted to go to Antarctica. I have always wanted to go there. I mean, you say, well, what's there? There's a lot there that I would like to see. I remember, I'll tell you, it's always had interest in me ever since the science fiction movie called The Thing when I was a kid in a big movie theater in Queens, when I saw The Thing in the 1950s, where some thing was created in a laboratory and it broke out and killed scientists. I always wanted to go to Antarctica. I guess it was that movie that intrigued piqued my interest. But there's actually another element of the Antarctic story that just came to my mind. God, it's terrible how many things I have to disclose here on the Savage Nation in order to keep you interested. This is almost like a confessional box in some ways. You have to be very careful. It's sort of like I'm not Catholic, but it's like a Catholic confessional box, and you're my priest. And I'm about to confess something about the Antarctic and its relationship to me that I never disclosed. And I think it's of interest, particularly since I'm finishing up my autobiography as told through a series of stories. And I guarantee you'll outsell Nancy Pelosi's book. I guarantee you'll outsell Newt Gingrich's last book. I guarantee it'll outsell Nancy Pelosi, Newt Gingrich's, Dianne Feinstein, and Barbara Boxer's books put together. This I can guarantee you. By the way, how come my book sells so well? How come Michael Savage, the man they say is so uninteresting and so not believed. How come his books, how could I have four bestsellers in a row and they can't have even a book that sells 10,000 copies? Why is that? Could it be they live in their own world? Anyway, so I'm going to go back to the Antarctic. What year was it? I don't remember, but I remember I was getting out of college, and I was an indifferent student in the undergraduate years. I have a lot of higher degrees, and I've done a lot of interesting things and some good work here and there, but I was never a good student. I hated studying, and I hated memorizing. Hated it. There were kids who were great at studying and memorizing, and I don't know whether that's a mark of high intelligence or low intelligence. I still don't know. I think it's a certain capacity for memory, which is about all there is to it. But my mind was always like somewhere else. I was a dreamer. I would drift off. But I always liked interesting thing. I like facts. I like learning things. Let's put it to you that way. What I was interested in, no one could stand between me and the end of that knowledge, okay? The trick was to learn what you were interested in and keep your mind open. So I got out of college, and I had a C-plus average or something out of Queens College. All the other boys were going to medical school, dental school, law school, or wherever, Fire Island, to get married or something. I was offered my first position. Well, it was like a junior assistant aboard a research trip for the National Science Foundation, a year in Antarctica. I thought that would be so great to come out of college, because Charles Darwin was my hero, you know, a 19th century naturalist, and I was interested in natural history as opposed to the direction that science was going in. I was more or less looking backwards in order to know which way to look forward. You have to look backwards to know which way to go forward. You can't just go forward with the tide, because you're liable to wind up on an ice floe going in the wrong direction, as too many people in the medical profession have gone with the pushing of pills and drugs. They haven't even understood that they become unrooted from their history as healers. They become drug peddlers. So in order to become somewhat knowledgeable about where your field should go, you have to go find out where it was. And that's what I'm getting at. So I figured I would go to the Antarctic. Well, needless to say, I didn't go. I don't know why, but I've always regretted having not gone on that trip to the Antarctic. Well, it's true, years later, I did go to so many wonderful islands in the South Seas to collect plants, which is so oddball from a boy from the Bronx. I mean, to wind up collecting medicinal plants in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, Palmerston Island. I can name hundreds of islands that I've collected plants on. It's quite an achievement in its own way, but why I did it is even more interesting. I have many reasons how I wound up on those islands while other people were, you know, advancing their careers here in America. I was always a purist and an idealist, in some ways to my betterment, in some ways to my detriment. For example, when I complained to my son that I shouldn't have wasted those years collecting plants and traveling in the islands, and I say, look at what people did instead. He says to me, Dad, stop it. Don't you understand that you're so great on radio today because of your wide experience and your knowledge? Don't you understand it's all part of what you do? I said, no. So sometimes your children are better to you than you are to them. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So, you know, really, I'm focusing on the high number of people in prison and jails in America for rather minor crimes, and what it says about the society that we're living in. We have the highest proportion of prisoners in the world. That should chill you to your core. Don't just assume that because you watch Locked Up on MSNBC that everybody in there is a violent felon. I mean, the violent felons belong in prison and belong executed. But there's something so wrong with the society that has criminalized virtually everything, where any one of us at any moment can make a mistake and wind up in prison. It's funny, I started talking about this today, and I went through my bookcase a minute ago, and I stumbled upon a book that just arrived a month ago, Go Directly to Jail, The Criminalization of Almost Everything by Gene Healy, who is himself a lawyer and works at the editor at the Cato Institute. Let me read you about this. Go Directly to Jail by Gene Healy, The Criminalization of Almost Everything. And listen to what he writes. At one time, the sanction of the criminal law was reserved for serious morally culpable offenders. But during the past 40 years, an unholy alliance of tough-on-crime conservatives and anti-big business liberals has utterly transformed the criminal law. Today, while violent crime often goes unpunished, Congress continues to add new trivial offenses to the federal criminal code. With more than 4,000 federal offenses on the statute books and thousands more buried in the code of federal regs, it is now frighteningly easy for American citizens to be hauled off to jail for actions that no reasonable person would regard as crimes. At the same time, rampant federalization and mandatory minimum sentencing are making America's criminal justice system ever more centralized and punitive. The result is a labyrinthine criminal code, a burgeoning prison population, and often real injustice. This book examines those alarming trends and proposes reforms that would rein in a criminal justice apparatus at war with fairness and common sense. Hear, hear, from the Cato Institute. Good for them. Let's hear it for the libertarian crowd. I didn't know they were still operational. The book is very interesting. You know, something has to be done in this country with the number of people in prison. And this was triggered because I received a card from a Pulaski, from a correctional institution in Virginia, where 100 inmates hand-signed it. I'm going to put that in the Michael Savage Museum one of these days. I'm building the museum in my mind, along with my CDs and my archives, my manuscripts. I don't know where to put the museum. I certainly wouldn't put it in San Francisco. They don't deserve it. 1-800-449-8255. Jerome, Ohio, welcome to the Savage Nation.
You know, Dr. Savage, when a people lose their shame, they lose their faith. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it's not coming in clear. I'm sorry. I know you're an important caller, and you are. The sound quality was not good. That's all. Pullman, Washington. Jay, you're the next up. What's on your mind?
Hello, Dr. Savage. The Google deal that you were talking about,
right.
Actually Google pays $1.3 million for, I think they have either two or three planes.
All right, I understand that. However, do you think it's fair for them to lease the NASA Ames hangar? I mean, it's a federal facility. Isn't it reserved for our NASA aircraft?
Well, isn't Moffett Field, it's been a few years since I've been there. Wasn't it a naval air station at one time?
Well, I'd like to know if they've also paid for the amortization of the property or the upkeep of the property. I'd also like to know if they're paying for the maintenance of the runways. You know, landing in a 767 on a runway creates a great deal of wear and tear. I think there are very suspect issues involved with putting a plane of a private. These are two guys, very wealthy guys. God bless them. They made it legally. But I'd like to know how they got the use of the Moffett Field. You know it's political, Jay.
Yes. I just wonder, you know, would they do the same thing?
I mean, let's clear the air here, Jay. That Google plane was used last week to fly guests up to Gavin Newsom's wedding in Montana. Okay? Now, that's a story unto itself. It didn't make it into the newspapers down here, Jay, because they own the newspapers. And these are the same phony liberals who want to impose so-called green laws on everybody else. They fly in that plane, which spews tons of carbon dioxide, which, of course, is a myth unto itself. But to go along with their own malarkey, I mean, they're violating their own malarkey. Sorry, it doesn't play for me. Portland, Oregon. Justin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, love your show. I got a possible theory for you on this Google plane.
Yes,
sir. What if Google's a front company for the government? What if they're allowing and using them to map every street, map every place on Earth, and at some point then they'll commandeer it when there's a crisis, so to speak? And this even dovetails with the criminal activity you're talking about. What if the Green Police start checking your garbage on Google Street to see if you're...
That's right. Any twosome Newsom wants to create garbage police on top of it all, right out of Fahrenheit 451, who will see if you put plastic in the plastic recycling can, paper in the paper recycling can, and what other garbage you've thrown out. This is total insanity, Justin.
Do you think Google Earth is maybe, or Google is being used, or is a front company for the government, and at some point...
No, not at all. I think that they... I've been opposed to Google Earth from the day I discovered it several years ago when my son showed it to me, and I said, this is going to be used by terrorists to target first our troops in Iraq, which turned out to be true, and next it'll be used to target every quadrant on Earth that they want to kill somebody with. Not to mention that Google Earth can be used by assassins all over the globe to guide them right to the house of the individual they're looking for. Google Earth is a tool of terrorists, and never mind used by the government. I've said that from the beginning. I mean, I've been on it. I enjoy focusing in on somebody's house. But what if the person who wants to harm you uses Google Earth? You think that's a good idea? Where's the privacy in our society? We're not living with privacy anymore. And who brought it about? Two of the most liberal individuals in American history. The people who flew people in Newsom's wedding. MichaelSavage.com. What's going on now? They're supposed to execute the Mexican rapist murderer. And now he's a victim, of course. He's a victim. The liberals are all backing him. Isn't it strange how the liberals, who are so-called involved with women's rights and children's rights, are lobbying to make sure that the Mexican rapist murderer Medellin is not executed? Isn't that strange? How could that be? Because progressive liberalism is a mental disorder. That's why. Now, what else do you want to talk about? Bashing liberals is such old radio. It's so boring. There's nothing left to bash. We all know who they are. If you ask me who's going to win the election right now, it's McCain. Probably win by a huge majority, by the way. And I'm probably not going to endorse him at any point. This man, forget not coming on my show. It's not sour grapes. He can't come on this show because the opposition would say he went on Michael Savage's show. Michael Savage said X, Y, and Z, therefore McCain said it. I know how the business worked. He will not go on middle-of-the-road conservative shows. He has not yet gone and given interviews to conservative websites such as WorldNet Daily and Newsmax. Why is that? I mean, they're very fair websites. Why won't McCain even sit down and interview with Joe Farah of WND or Chris Ruddy of Newsmax? Tell me why. They have huge audiences. Tell me what McCain stands for if he won't stand with his own base. That's what worries me, you know. That's only one topic. There are numerous others, and the phone number is here, 1-800-449-8255. Let me see what the latest news is while you're calling here. That's the hottest news here. So much news, schmooze. They picked the moderators for the debate. How exciting. Yeah, very, very important. These debates are such rubbish. I wish it was over. I wish it was over already and we could get on to Christmas and Slush and Bing Crosby already. My favorite Christmas scene as depicted in the movies is actually not from A Christmas Story. It's the scene in The Godfather, GF1, where Michael Corleone is in the streets with Kate and he has packages and he's on Fifth Avenue and it's like jingle bells in the Santas. And then he sees the newspaper, which shows that his father, Don Corleone, has been shot. That's such a well-orchestrated scene. Why was that movie so well done? Well, it's like a masterpiece. You know, you look at a painting like a Rembrandt. That movie was the filmic equivalent of a Rembrandt. So we all keep looking at it over and over again. There's not a bad scene in the entire film. Not one, but that's what I'm thinking of already. So Death Row writes, God, I wish he got... I hope that the lawyers for this murderer don't have happen to their family what this man did to girls. That's all I can say. Does that work for you? I hope that what happened to these girls by this guy Medellin, this gangbanger from Mexico, who raped and murdered these girls, and by the way, he's been convicted and he's appealed over and over again for years. The murder was done in the 80s, and yet these rat vermin liberal scum who want to eliminate the death penalty are arguing that because he didn't get to call a Mexican consulate, he didn't get a fair trial. You ever hear anything like this? Whew. What a bunch of stinkers, all of them. Oh, there was something else I meant to tell you. I got good callers, so give me a minute here. I'm just trying to think. I'm a little slow today. I don't know what's wrong. I think I'm too relaxed. Something's wrong with me. My enemies aren't bothering me. Nothing bothers me. That's the problem. I think there's something wrong with me. Nothing bothers me, so I'm not agitated. Now, I'm not tempting fate, I hope, but I'm starting to feel too normal about life. Like, things don't bother me anymore. I think I'm already thinking of something else. I mean, my mind's in another dimension. I've been going on to stargazing sites lately. That's really bad. The guy has a site. I'm not going to give it out because it'll get jammed. Where you go on and you put constellations. The guy takes the greatest pictures you've ever seen of star constellations and the names. And then when you slide the mouse over it, the actual image that the ancients saw comes up. Oh, my God. Once you turn your eyes onto the heavens, the world is never the same. Of course, I did that in the fifth grade when I made a Starbucks. I was always looking at the heavens, even in the fifth grade. And then I came down to Earth, and it's never been the same ever since. But maybe when you get old, you know, you can start looking at stars again. I guess that's another thing I once thought of being was an astronomer. I'm looking back on my life like, okay, I wanted to go to the Antarctic. Didn't do that. Check that one off. Frustration. I never wanted to be a baseball player or a boxer. I knew I never could be. Not that I didn't respect them. I mean, I did. But I never aspired to be a boxer because I knew I couldn't be. I never aspired to be a baseball player because I never was good enough. But I did aspire to go to the Antarctic and do science, and for some reason I just didn't do it. Another thing, really, that I really wanted to do was I think wanted to be an astronomer at some point. I'd probably be blind by now from staring into the telescope. You know, I used to love microscopes. I remember the first time I looked in an electron microscope, a whole world opened up. God, remember those days in high school when you first looked into a microscope? And then I went to college. I remember we took anatomy at Queens College. It was tough. Probably anatomy at Queens College when I went was as tough as graduate school anatomy in a medical school today. We had really tough teachers. So there was a thing called a practical exam where there were like 20 stations around the room with 20 microscopes set up on objects. And you had to go around and with a test, like a microscope one, you're looking at, you know, the hair of a mouse. Microscope two, you're looking at the eye of a fly. Well, one SOB in the class, I think he subsequently became a supervisor in San Francisco. When the teacher wasn't looking, he took away one of the exhibits. I don't know how to put this in a nice way, but he picked his nose and put it in under the microscope instead, just to be a wise guy. Would you believe it? Yeah, today he's a liberal lawyer. 1-800-449-8255, Chicago, Illinois, Moshe. Moshe, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
About the Tyson chicken plants.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what makes America great is our economic freedom, the freedom to conduct our business however we like and to spend our money however we like. If a particular company wants to give a certain day off to its customers, to its employees, what is it anybody else's business?
Well, I hear how high and mighty your voice is because you're so superior, but would you feel the same about Martin Luther King Jr. Day? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? What if a company said we're eliminating Martin Luther King Jr. Day and we're replacing it with a religious holiday? Would you feel the same way?
I feel as you do, Michael.
Yeah, you feel. You don't know what to say. You're reading a script like a typical sophomoric child. And suddenly when I presented you with an alternative reality, you didn't know what to say. Have a nice day. That's the problem. What's the point? No one can challenge me on the radio. I feel like who was the king of SWAT? Babe Ruth, when he got up, he knocked him out. I mean, how many times can you hit home runs out of the park and still want to get up and bat anymore? What's the point here? The guy, anyone should be able to do anything they want. And, you know, substituting Labor Day for a Muslim holiday is the company's business. Very highfalutin. So I say to him, okay, fine. And what if somebody said, you know what, I'm eliminating Martin Luther King Jr. Day mandated by the PC police, and I'm substituting a religious holiday for that. Suddenly, suddenly he didn't have this script went out of his hands already. I have a great audience in Chicago on WIND. That's assuming I still have the station. I don't even know. I don't even pay attention to it. I could survive if I had 50 people left in radio, even though it's still 8 to 10 million. Wait till the people meter comes in. It'll be higher. You'll see it's even bigger than in the my show is enormous. There's people in the business, if they didn't follow other people, they'd have no show whatsoever. I know that for a fact. It doesn't matter how much money they make. Luckily, it's a free market, and people can pay what they want, and they can earn what they want. I don't really care. What would I do with more money? Have to give it away anyway. The government takes 50% of it. What are we talking about? We'll go to the Antarctic while you can. All right, Mary, Palm Springs, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I want to encourage you to go to the Antarctica now. I know that you said it's something you probably wouldn't do, but do it, because we don't know how long our American freedoms will last. They're limited. We're very frightened about Obama and all the people he's associated with. And the time
Wait, all the people he's dissociated with? Did you say we're worried about all the people that Obama is dissociated with?
associated with.
I'm joking. Well, I'll tell you, I would go to the Antarctic if the Google boys would lend me their plane for scientific research.
Well, I think we should take up a collection, a petition.
Yeah, why don't the Google boys, because the plane is right here, they could fly me right to Santiago, then I could get on the ship, I wouldn't have to stay in a hotel, and I could do research on the plant life of the Antarctic. There is actually plant life there. It's very interesting. Paleobotany is very much alive in the Antarctic to see what kind of plant life exists underneath the ice. It's phenomenal. So I'm going to put out a request that the Google boys can prove to me that they really are in the research business with their plane. If they will afford me the pleasure of their airplane to fly me to Santiago, Chile and back, I would go there and I would do legitimate scientific research on the ethnobotany of Antarctica. I would talk to the natives and see if they have any medicinal uses. There are no natives. It's the one place on Earth there were no natives. How come there were no natives in the Antarctic? You know, that's an interesting question. Certainly we have the Inuits of, Alaska. They came over from Asia when the land bridge was alive and well. They came over for Chinese food and they couldn't get home. I mean, I understand that. Actually, they went over for Chinese food. They could, whatever. They came over for the takeout. Let's put it to you that way. And they got stuck over there. Now already a next group, pressure group. Hey, ho, ho. Michael Savage insulted the Inuits. Hey, ho, Savage has got to go. Can't even tell a joke. You humorless communist bums you. I'll tell jokes until the day I leave the radio, which is going to be when I want, not when you want. I can guarantee you. San Diego, Gene, you went to the Antarctic. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, I have.
Where did you stay in the Antarctic? Is there a hotel there?
No, we were on a ship, went through Lindblad.
Is that Lindblad? They have a number of ships. Are they not? Are they good?
They are wonderful. They are the only one that goes into Antarctica. I live in San Diego, and I went through the San Diego Zoo Society. And I spent 2 weeks.
But you know what I loved? I went on their website. It says, if you like a ship with a casino and entertainment, this is not for you. It was like they were talking to me.
This is for people who are.
With brains. It's for people with brains. I understand. Not with the fake tuxedo crowd.
And I went myself, and it was a wonderful experience. I wish I could do it again.
Is it quiet? Is the ship quiet, or they have muzak in the common companionways?
Don't. I mean,
no.
We have
no, it's mainly serious older people with naturalists. How's the food, though? It couldn't be that good. Is the food any good on the ship?
The food is excellent. You could request your own dietary, and
But I'm saying, it really is. They have a decent chef on the because they're small ships. You know, it's not like a cruise ship with phenomenal kitchens.
It's only less.
So, like when you get to the Antarctic, you stay on the ship?
Yes, you do. And then you take a Zodiac and you go to land areas where the penguins are and you go hiking. We did a hike at midnight since it's 24-hour lighting there.
God. Well, it is one what of the month best, of the year did you go down?
It is one of the best trips in my whole life.
What kind of people were on the Lindblad ship?
Computer people, medical people, just in the
no kid, no kids though, running around making noise.
And the lecturers.
Gene, were there children on the ship running around making noise, disturbing everyone in the dining room?
No children whatsoever. This is strictly all adults.
You can't find a restaurant in America where you can go in. I've never seen anything like it. I go in 9 o'clock, 9:15. They're still sitting there. They don't take them home and put them to sleep. Can't they take them home and put them in front of a TV? Why are they in a restaurant with coloring books at 9 o'clock?
No, this is wonderful, Michael. There's an extension trip to Easter Island, and so I spent Easter Island at Christmas time.
Did you went on a single cabin, you went alone, right?
I don't mind.
Do they have any kind of entertainment, like any dancing, music, nothing?
No, it's just a lounge. Everybody sits and has a glass of wine, shares.
In other words, it's a very serious sort of reading crowd, right?
Definitely. They have a wonderful library. And
Do they have a DVD player in your cabin if you want to bring movies?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's all I can say is you have to do it. I'm a widow right now, and
I'm married. I can't join you on the next trip, Gene. I'm sorry. I have to stop it right here.
Different. Everyone thought I was losing my.
No, it's like a one. It's like a, whatever I say, she don't hear. All right, thank you. It was fun up to me. There's no two way. It's like a one way radio. Nice lady. I can't go with her on the next trip. I'm sorry. I'm taken. I remember once I came home from Asia. I don't know how many hours, 12 hours. And it was the days when you could really drink on a plane before they taped you to a chair if you said something funny. In those days, at 747s, I'm talking 20 years ago, with a lounge upstairs, I would drink the entire way back from the islands. 12 hours, I'd sit and have a beer an hour. And people smoked and drank, and you met people. You had a lot of fun from all walks of life. And it was a lot. The pilot would come out and talk to you. It was amazing what the world has become because of our wonderful friends from the Middle East, what they did to us on 9/11. Wonderful people. Dragged the entire world into the 4th century, the 9th century to be specific. So I would sit there and I would, you know, get on the plane. And, of course, when it landed, I kissed the earth. But one day, I'm talking about a flight now from Asia. It was, I think, Tokyo. It was forever, 11 hours, 12 hours, whatever. But I drank very heavily because I can't sleep on a plane. If I'm going to die, I want to be awake. You know what I'm saying? I want to see the plane going down. I really don't want to wake up and I'm dead. I mean, what's the good of waking up and you're dead? You would have missed the whole show. So to make a long, when I drink, it's when I drink, my eyes, I have epicanthic folds on my lids, okay? So when I drink, my eyes become somewhat azioid, if that is the correct word. I tend to look like the friends of mine who own Chinese restaurants. So I get off the plane, and I've been drinking the entire way back, and an Asian woman with some paper in her hand comes running up and speaks to me in Chinese. I didn't know what she was, throw her arms around me. So I didn't know what she was doing. Mrs. Savage ran up and pushed her away and said, "No, he's mine. What are you doing?" She ordered a mail order, a husband, this woman, and she thought I was him. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So the prisons are filled with people in for minor crimes. Now, here's a guy who should have been executed 15 years ago. His name is Medellin. He's a Mexican national. The Supreme Court upheld several times, by the way, his execution. But his rat vermin lawyers, who should be disbarred for this, want another reprieve. So they're going back to their friends from law school in the so-called Fifth U.S. Circuit Court. Now, who is Medellin and what did he do to these young American girls, this wonderful man from Mexico? Medellin was with his gangbangers from Mexico, and they had a gang initiation. They grabbed two girls. They had names. And they started the attack. And Medellin was the first of this rat gang to attack the girls. The little girl, Peña, cried out for help from her friend. By the time it ended an hour later, Mr. Medellin, who the liberals are now rallying around, and five fellow gangbangers had raped the girls and forced them to perform sex acts before beating and then strangling them with a belt and shoelaces. Medellin subsequently boasted to friends about having, quote, virgin's blood on his underpants. This is the piece of garbage that his lawyer is arguing deserves another trial because he was never advised by prosecutors or police of his right as a detained foreign national to seek consular assistance as required by the Vienna Convention on Consular Relations, and therefore deprived them of legal assistance that Mexico could have provided. This is what liberalism is. It's a criminal mental disorder. And I only hope that you liberals listening to this show do not have done to your daughters what this man did to Elizabeth and to Jennifer. I only pray that it's not done to your daughters what this piece of human trash did to these two girls. I only pray to God it does not happen to your daughters. Think very carefully what you progressives are doing to this country. You want this man to get another trial? You want to send the signal to other gangbangers that they can grab your daughter off the street and rape and murder her? You sick things, you? You're still a progressive? You want to go to a nut house?
Savage.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Just so much rubbish. They have no interest.
Then why do some people still read them, although it's so dangerous?
Precisely because it is forbidden.
Why is it forbidden?
Because it made people unhappy.
Do you really believe that?
Oh, yes. Books disturb people. They make them antisocial.
Yeah, and of course, books today are... It's talk radio, and that's why Nancy Pelosi wants talk radio ended, as you know it. Because talk radio makes people unhappy, disturbs them, and makes them antisocial, according to the liberals. Now, ask yourself how you could still be a liberal when you understand that this was coming from supposedly the reactionary forces of the 1950s. Doesn't it tell you that you socialist progressives are actually the reactionary forces that you've been fighting against all your life? That is from the movie Fahrenheit 451, done in 1966, based on the movie, the book in 1952 called Fahrenheit 451, written by Ray Bradbury. Yeah, that's a mouthful, of course. Now, there's another soundbite I haven't played yet, and that is of a man who went into a Subway in Florida. You know, the Subway chain, the food. I actually get sandwiches there once in a while. I love it. There's a streak in me of the poor that has never left me. And when I go back to my, like, college days as a person, wearing the same shirt I've worn for 30 years, it's clean. Riding a bicycle, eating in Subway, I feel better. I can do the other thing. It doesn't bother me, but I'm actually more comfortable living poorly. So this guy goes into Subway. They have a great sandwich. I got to tell you the truth. You go and you stand in line like a schmuck with everyone else, and it's like a line. One opens the bread with the plastic hand. The other opens the next, pulls out. You want a cheese? They give you a cheese. Then the next, the sauce. So this guy goes into a Subway. And they don't put sauce on his sandwich, and he calls 9/11 this moron because they didn't put sauce on his sandwich. And the police come out now. Listen to this soundbite.
Yes, 911 Williams.
Yes, ma'am. My name is on Atlantic and Bowling Avenue, mm-hmm. And I'm in a Subway sandwich shop and ordered two sandwiches, and I paid almost $12 for the sandwich. I did not get the sandwiches the way that the made to be made the way I wanted to. I brought the sandwiches back up here. The woman didn't tell me that she was going to make my sandwiches over. Okay? She can't tell me that they can't do this, they can't do that.
All right, so you get the picture. Guys are in the Subway, they didn't put sauce on it, so the genius calls 9/11. They send out police. And the police, they have a tough job. They have to explain to this chestnut that you don't call 9/11 for a Subway sandwich that doesn't have sauce. And he gets contentious. So now they arrest him. I maybe he'll get 2 to 4 now for calling 9/11 on a Subway sandwich. You know, after all, it adds to the prison rolls. That's good for business if you have a private prison. And you're in the union. Why not? Put another one in jail. Put everybody in prison in America. Why not? Everyone commits a crime. Just because he's stupid doesn't mean he committed a crime. So where are we going to go with all of this? What's the next crime? Homophobia should be a crime and everyone should be arrested as homophobic. And anyone who's Islamophobic belongs in prison as well. Anyone who complains about Tyson getting rid of Labor Day for a Muslim holiday should be put in prison. The only person who shouldn't be in prison is the Mexican gangbanger who raped and murdered and tortured the two young girls. He should be free. This is why the country is finished. And I could finish the paragraph, but I won't do it. I'll let you finish with unless. Who was it with? I forgot who I did it with. That's a good interview coming up, but I don't know who it's with. I forgot. I really do. How do you feel about lawyers and liberals lining up for a guy who tortured and murdered two young girls, claiming that he deserves another trial. And by the way, Bush was on their side. This is another thing you got to know. Our great leader, who's in China right now, actually went to bat for the Mexican torturer, rapist, murderers, saying that it should be reviewed by the world court. His own Texas Supreme Court said no. U.S. Supreme Court, no, George Bush. Why is George Bush doing the bidding of the Mexican government? Trucks from Mexico, no problemo. Rapists from Mexico, no problemo. What is going on here? When is this man going to take his mask off? Something is so wrong with this picture, I dare not even dwell on it. I don't want to dwell on it anymore. It's too frightening to behold what the logic of this chess game is. It's too much for me. The judicial system in this country is not flawed. That a man is still on death row 20 years after he raped and tortured and murdered a young girl and boasted that he had virgin's blood on his underwear. This man should be living. Liberals should be. Where's he getting the money for these appeals? What kind of lawyer does this for nothing? What kind of liberal law firm would do this for pro bono reasons? Answer, the same kind that is representing CAIR against Michael Savage. Think about that. Why would a liberal law firm in San Francisco spend all of their genius attacking me instead of defending me? Think about it. Think about these pro bono liberal lawyers and what they're really after. They certainly, in that case, couldn't be interested in defending the rights of a rapist, torturer, murderer, could they? So they're doing it for what, public relations and publicity? Or does the man actually think that he deserves another trial in the world court? If he does, then he's sicker than I think he is. Something is so wrong with the system that men like that can actually plead before Supreme Courts that we actually let sick people like this with law degrees into the courts. But then again, who's in the black robe? What, the black robe is better? The black robes are better than the lawyers? Are you kidding me? They're the same thing. I'll be back. Savage. Barry Obama has obviously been anointed by the midstream media as the next president of the United States of Germany. The midstream media ignores or glosses over any stories or any problems that come up when we look at his voting records, his personal connections, his pastor. The story of Obama's minister is well known, and you've heard about the connections to the far leftist groups like the Weathermen. What a lot of people haven't heard about is Barry Obama's Marxist mentor and Communist Party member Frank Marshall Davis, which the midstream media has passed off as a writer who offered a young Obama advice on life. Ha ha! Cliff Kincaid from Accuracy and Media tells us more about this cover-up by the midstream media. Cliff, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, what's the background on this actual story?
There's no secret that the media are pro-Obama and want to see him elected, but the degree of their support in terms of blatant dishonesty is shocking to many people. What I've documented in this particular article at AIM.org is the fact that the Associated Press, which is a wire service that reaches millions of people, has published a blatantly dishonest story about Barack Obama's communist mentor, a man named Frank Marshall Davis. We actually broke this story many months ago, and it's belatedly been the case that AP is now running a story about this important influence on Barack Obama's life. But the problem is they did a lengthy story about Frank Marshall Davis, who was Obama's mentor during his high school years, and never mentioned that he was a communist. He was, in fact, a member of the Communist Party USA, a key member of a Soviet-sponsored international communist network in Hawaii. He was a mentor, a major influence, a role model, a father figure for Barack Obama. And yet AP does this long story about him, ignoring the fact that he's a communist, and quoting all these people, friends and associates of his, and he died back in 1987, saying, in effect, how much of a great guy he was and how he was a positive influence on Barack Obama and was committed, quote, to social justice. Well, this is just another example of the outrageous pro-Obama media bias that is going to mislead and confuse millions of people about who Barack Obama is and where he came from.
This communist was such a huge influence on Obama. How come we haven't heard about him more in Obama's book?
This is a big question that only Barack Obama can ask. AP, the wire service, didn't bother to even raise it. They do mention in the story that Barack Obama, in his 1995 book, Dreams from My Father, refers to this guy, but he only refers to him as Frank. It doesn't even give his readers his complete name. Frank Marshall Davis certainly doesn't mention he was a communist. Talks about him reading poems and giving him Barack Obama advice on various things like American values and college and race relations. But Barack Obama never mentions that Frank was Frank Marshall Davis. And when we confirmed this, we confirmed who this guy actually was many months ago. I actually commissioned a major report on this subject by Herbert Romerstein, a veteran anti-communist investigator. And we looked into Davis's background. He was an identified member of the Communist Party. He was a Stalinist. He supported the evil Soviet regime. This is a very bad person. And yet this is the guy who was picked by Barack Obama's white grandfather, Stanley Dunham, to be Barack Obama's mentor. Because, as we all know, Obama's father had abandoned the family. So Frank Marshall Davis filled that void. This is a key guy in his life who pumped Barack Obama's head full of anti-American thoughts and ideas. And this influence helps explain why later on Barack Obama would associate with Marxists and socialists in college, go to Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church, launch his political career in the home of communist terrorists Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, and take, in general, a Marxist view on domestic, social, and global issues.
Well, it does explain a lot about Barry Obama.
Davis is the key to understanding Obama. And yet Obama covered up his true identity in his book, and the AP doesn't even try to get to the bottom of it. Instead, they run this blatantly dishonest piece by a Honolulu reporter for AP, a guy named Sudhin Thanawala, who completely ignores the fact. And we have provided him information about this, by the way. We provided him the Romerstein report. We provided him all the information we have. And yet this reporter ignores all of it, ignores all of the evidence, and completely ignores the fact in his story that Davis was an identified member of the Communist Party. This is how dishonest AP has become. And at the same time, by ignoring this evidence, they excuse Barack Obama's dishonesty as well.
The depth of the cover-up in the midstream media is beyond even my comprehension. How did Obama become the chosen one?
It's no secret we've got a liberal left bias in the major national media in this country. This is a bias that we at Accuracy and Media have documented going back for decades. They want to see Obama win. They naturally, almost like clockwork, want to see the Democratic candidates win, especially on a national basis, and especially Obama. I mean, you look at this guy. His campaign strategist is David Axelrod, who used to work for the Chicago Tribune as a, quote, political reporter. His main spokesperson is Linda Douglas, formerly of CBS News, ABC News, and the National Journal. This guy is surrounded by the media who love him. They are on his payroll, and those who are not on his payroll might as well be. Or maybe they're doing it for free. I don't know what their motive is, but they want to see him elected to the point of denying the American people absolutely documented information that a Communist Party member, a key member of a Soviet-sponsored international communist network in Hawaii, was a decisive influence over Barack Obama.
Well, how big of a scandal is this Davis story to Barry Obama's campaign?
I think the Davis story is the biggest one of all. This is the biggest scandal of the campaign so far. And it's not just a scandal for Obama. It's a scandal for the press corps, which continue to try to cover it up. Because Davis explains why Obama would associate with communists and socialists later in life. It was Davis who had the influence over Obama during his formative high school years. And we had confirmed this months ago. We've been trying to get this story out for months. I've done work through Accuracy and Media. The Obama campaign has tried to ignore it until now we get the AP, the wire service, running this blatantly dishonest piece, trying to picture Frank Marshall Davis as just some kind of a positive influence on Obama, somebody committed to social justice who was merely, quote, left-leaning, and a, quote, journalist and a poet. Well, let me tell you how much of a journalist this guy was. He was a propagandist for the Communist Party, who wrote for the Communist Party-controlled newspaper in Hawaii, the Honolulu Record. And in terms of being a poet, he wrote poems in honor of the Soviet Red Army and mocking Christian missionaries. That's the kind of, quote, poet this guy was. And so this guy is critical to understanding how Obama turned out later in life, why he would go to Wright's Church, why he would associate with terrorists and communists and socialists in Chicago. This is the key to understanding Barack Obama, and that's why this is a blockbuster of a story that AP Now, with distribution to thousands and thousands of print and electronic outlets in the United States and internationally, is trying to obscure and to confuse people about who Frank Marshall Davis really was. I repeat, I provided this reporter direct documentary evidence in the form of the reports that we did at usasurvival.org proving Davis was a communist, proving he had a history of involvement not only in the Communist Party but various communist front organizations over the period of many, many years before, during, and after World War II. I gave all of this information to this reporter, and he deliberately ignored it, and instead in his story only quotes those who are supporters of or friends of Davis or Obama.
Cliff Kincaid, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
It was good to be with you. Thanks a million.
Savage.
You know, I've been saying for a long time how today's rap music is harmful. You heard me talk about it. I'm not the only one, of course. But it's harmful not only to today's young people, but to our culture as a whole. Raphael Turner was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, and was once part of this gangster hip-hop culture. He's an experienced Detroit police officer, former child social worker, man of the cloth, and he shed some light onto the ways that gangster culture has poisoned families, cultures, and societies in his new book, Rappin' Gangsters. Raphael Turner, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on the show.
What did you intend to achieve in writing this book?
I wrote the book because, you know, I wanted to make sure that I brought awareness to those who have not yet understood how detrimental gangster rap is and how it's affected our society in so many aspects.
How has it affected your community?
For over 20 years, the black community has been engulfed by gangster culture, which is coming right out of gangster rap music. I mean, many of the problems, such as violence, gun shootings, drug dealings, every kind of drug usage you can think of, from marijuana, cocaine, and what's becoming more and more popular, prescription drugs, has been rapped and linked directly to this vile music. I mean, domestic violence is increasing with our young teens. Adolescent promiscuity is getting crazy. I mean, to be honest with you, there are some in African-American community who have recognized these social ills growing within our young people. But unfortunately, there's still many who have not yet come to understand and realize how this music has affected a generation of young people. Now, this gangster rap, let me be clear, is not just music, but it's even been proclaimed by rappers themselves as a culture, a gangster culture, one that they're very proud of, and unfortunately, it's brought devastating consequences to young African Americans. And to be honest with you, it's affected our whole culture as a whole.
True.
This is a culture which replaces moral values and deposits demeaning values of its own. Now, this gangster culture has been very easy to recognize within my community. And that's how I began to notice that this same gangster, criminal, debasing culture was beginning to shape and mold the attitudes and norms of white kids as well. Not just black kids, but white kids, even as young as 6 years old. And after I thought about it, I was like, well, of course. This music has been targeted for whites for over 20 years, and its immoralities have finally taken root within white families. Now, for some whites, I mean, this is no surprise. They saw it coming. Being that 80% of all rap has been bought by white youth for more than 20 years. I mean, as a matter of fact, conservatives like Bob Dole, William Bennett, the former drug czar, the George Bush Sr., they tried to sound the alarms over 10 years ago, but many whites didn't take them serious. And here we are now in 2008, seeing cultural fallout, not just within black and Latin communities, but within white society as well.
Well, what do you think about the marketing of rap music?
Rap music is being marketed in so many different ways. I mean, of course, there's the drug issue. There's the sex issue. In this society, we have a problem with drugs. We have a problem with adolescent promiscuity. But it's being marketed to blacks. It's being marketed to whites as well. White youth are emanating this gangster culture that is cool to sell drugs. Some have even taken on the facade of gangsters by sagging their pants, showing the crack of their butts, and many of these white kids are developing the same be-tough gangster persona that many of these gangster rappers are known to have. You know, I've talked to suburban and rural area teachers of kindergartens and first graders who've told me that they spend part of their day now refraining young white kids as young as six from calling girls bees and hoes. I mean, these kids are communicating the language of rappers. They're learning how to become thugs. This has opened up the door to bullying behaviors, other violence, and degrading girls at an early age. 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg, and Eminem, you know, they're becoming the American idols, and these kids are becoming more and more socially deviant.
Mm-hmm.
And corporate America, they're right in the middle of this. They're marketing gangster rap to whites. For years, the record industry, they've studied so-called black music, and they have found that when white musicians and singers perform black music, their pockets get fat. Success has proven this to be quite popular and profitable for both white artists and executives when white artists take the platform of black music. If you look at history, when black artists like Big Mama Thornton made You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, Elvis Presley came out, he sang it, boom, sold over 4 million copies on his first release. Same thing with John Lennon when he did Roll Over Beethoven. And after Chuck Berry had already did it, the record industry knows that when you get somebody who's white singing black music, they're going to profit. They're going to make money. The boys in the back office, they know this. And they know with a white rapper flowing lyrics behind the mic, they stand to quadruple their profits, more than the money that's made from black rappers. You see, what's going on? Within the last 10 years, there's been a strong marketing push by record executives working with the entertainment industry to indoctrinate as many white youth as possible into this gangster lifestyle in order to get their paying dollars. But the suit and ties in the back office, they don't care about children being desensitized to violence. They don't care about them developing aggressive behavior or indulging in sex at 11 and 12 years old. They don't care if the kid is white, black, or brown. The only color they care about is that mean green dollar bill.
You say this type of music has a tie to organized crime?
That's right. You know what? For those who live in the hip-hop culture, it's no secret that many of the gangster rappers have started their careers off with drug money. I mean, while they were still drug dealers, while they were being drug dealers, these rappers have used money to pay for studio time in order to record CDs, and with that success, many went on to create their own independent record companies, you know, where they were able to handle distribution themselves. And after obtaining popularity and getting a name out there and pushing out major numbers of CDs, the major players of the record industry are able to see their potential growth. They see that they're good for marketing and that they're good, of course, for substantial profits, and then they sign them. Now, some of these independent labels owned by some of these rappers, they go on and they continue to sell drugs and they begin to launder their money through these companies. Law enforcement, from local police agencies to the feds, they're up on this and they continue to try and penetrate these organizations all the time. Even with informants and even with evidence, it's been hard for law enforcement to sometimes get a conviction. In 2006, the rap label Murder Incorporated, owned by the Lorenzo brothers, a.k.a. the Gottis, well, they were found not guilty, even though the feds had evidence of them laundering more than $1 million for a convicted drug lord, Kenneth Supreme. And rappers like 50 Cent, Ja Rule, all have associations with this guy.
Are you kidding?
I'm telling you, it's crazy, and the public needs to know about this madness.
You also talk about how rap is tied into a possible race war.
Many people have suspected that some kind of incident will spark off a coming race war unlike anything we've ever seen in this country before. I mean, Everyday Joe Blow, the Klan, skinheads, white supremacists, the Nation of Islam, and the hip-hop culture is anticipating this catastrophic event. I mean, rappers have long warned and prepared hip-hoppers to be ready for a race war in which they believe and inform their listeners that it's almost inevitable. I mean, we got rappers like RBX, Paris, Immortal Technique, Ice Cube. They've all been very detailed in their lyrics. Some of them talking about killing whites at an appointed time, killing law enforcement officers, and coming against the devil, who they have identified as the white race. I mean, the white devil belief are the same ideologies believed by the Nation of Islam, Farrakhan's group, in which many of these rappers are associated with. And the Nation also believes that we're now entering the days of Armageddon, in which a race war is going to consume many right here in America.
No.
Now, you know, we're living at a time where race is on the forefront of society. And ever since Hurricane Katrina and incidents like Gina 6 and nooses popping up all over the country, it has been a mobilization of hip-hoppers who are basically saying, you know, bring it on. And the hip-hoppers believe that they're the next generation of civil rights advancers, and they've implied that they're taking by any means necessary to a whole nother level. They're not the youth of yesterday. And many feel that current civil rights leaders have got them as far as they're going to go, and many of them believe that America would only yield, respond, and comply with black youth of America when more aggressive means are being thrown in their face. You know, when you get rappers and they mix direct and subliminal racially charged lyrics for the purpose of inducing a future race war, intertwined with a society who is still struggling with issues of equality and justice, you generate a time bomb of millennium race fighters.
How is the military using this kind of music?
You know, let me tell you something. Music has always been instrumental within the military, especially during times of war, as far back as Korea and the Vietnam War. My research detailed a pattern which strongly suggested the United States military has been using gangster rap as a means to build up the aggressive psyches of combat soldiers. Filmmaker George Geddes, he did a documentary where he filmed American soldiers fighting over Iraq and how violent music like Tupac, Pastor Troy, 666 Mafia was being funneled through the headsets of M1 Abrams tanks and Black Hawk choppers. You know, I've talked to several soldiers myself who've indicated that the music seems to be very prevalent in all areas, not just in combat, but during R&R time and during chow time. I've talked to soldiers who told me how they personally use gangster rap music to help incite themselves, get them hyped up in order to boost crazy courage before going on house raids. You know, it happens to be the same kinds of techniques I used sometimes when I was a police officer.
We're paying for live performances of gangster rap?
We've come a long way since the ballads of Bob Hope and Sammy Davis Jr. when they would perform for the troops. Now we got the military. They're using criminals like 50 Cent, Youngbloods, Pitbull, and Juvenile to perform for the troops. And the United States Department of Defense, they seem to enjoy all these lyrical images that are being embedded in the minds of our troops, being that they've funded celebrity entertainment with millions and millions of dollars. I mean, between 2000 and 2002, the Defense Department spent approximately $34 million. Now, I don't have a problem with entertainment. The troops, they need to be entertained to help provide a recreational outlet and help boost morale. But gangster rap, this is where I'm confused about. How are rappers like Juvenile, who's also performed for the troops, going to boost morale for troops when he performs songs which deliver messages about being a mad dog with no cure, squeezing the trigger of an automatic weapon until the clip is empty? Sounds to me that these are the same kinds of messages which are promoted in the hood and now frequently in the suburbs, and they have the same effect on soldiers, especially in combat. I don't think it's healthy for our soldiers to be having this kind of music injected into their ears or into their minds. Why is it that gangster rap music is allowed to play rampant in America's communities? I mean, the same gangster music that's causing drama overseas is psychologically and socially damaging our children right here in America. And that's based on the evidence of the chaos that's occurring in young culture in all our communities.
Raphael Turner, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
I appreciate you having me on the show. Thanks now. Bye-bye.
Savage.
Washington's broken. John McCain knows it. We're worse off than we were 4 years ago. Only McCain has taken on big tobacco, drug companies, fought corruption in both parties. He'll reform Wall Street, battle big oil, make America prosper again. He's the original maverick. One is ready to lead. McCain.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
All right, John. All right, you can do it. So they're using an old Reagan ad. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's a joke, the whole thing. The whole thing. Are you better off for you? See, he's trying to distance himself from Bush. How come he doesn't mention the illegal immigrant problem and the borders and what he's going to do with that? If only he'd clarify that position. You know, I realized why I'm calm and having trouble doing a show today. I'm not agitated. Normally, I'm agitated because I have various and many minor complaints that agitate me. And I realized that before the show, if you know, I took a homeopathic sinus spray, and I can breathe. I'm not gasping for oxygen. So because I am not gasping for oxygen, I'm calm like a normal person, and consequently, I've lost my desire to talk about anything. It's an interesting. In other words, there's no adrenaline surging through. It's an interesting phenomenon. In order to do talk radio really well, you have to be somewhat agitated. Now, in order to be agitated without faking it, you have to have either a true passion for the subject, which I did occasionally today, you know, when it got to the Medellin rapist and what I think of him and the lawyers. But by and large, I'm drowsy. I just want to go back to sleep because I feel so calm. I'm trying to figure out why I feel so calm. I mean, I never drink during, you know, I have never, ever had an alcoholic beverage prior to a radio show or during a show in my entire 15-year career because it's death. You can't think. You try this business and take one drink and see if you can still do it. It's impossible. But now I realize I feel this is how most normal people must feel, like a chicken about to be plucked. Nothing bothers the average person. They're oblivious. This is not good. I have to go back to sinusitis and gasping for air in order to do a good show. Guy called me and said, do I believe more in pharmaceuticals or homeopathics? I mean, look. Pharmaceuticals can be life-saving, but not when you're drugging children to death for behavioral situations that are just called childhood, idiot. That's what I'm talking about. Of course, pharmaceuticals can be life-saving. They save my life in my, you know, very. That doesn't mean you have to drug children down to the age of two. I mean, there's a little difference here. As far as homeopathy, most of it's quackery. However, some of it really works. You got to understand that. Arnica, for example. I knew an MD who introduced me to homeopathy 25, 30 years ago. Great guy, well-trained medical doctor, not a quack, truly knew what acupuncture and homeopathy was. And he told me he never travels without carrying Arnica cream. I said, why? He said, because any bruise, you know, if you fall on a hike, you put it on. It really does work. Arnica's worked in my family for 20 years. It really does work. And this nasal spray, I'm not going to give you a name, but wow, this is what the average person feels like. Calm, relaxed, nothing bothers them. They could sit through a dinner without agitating and changing a table. They could check into a hotel without changing rooms three times. They could actually sit on an airplane flight without fearing they're going to be taped to a chair for asking for water. You ever see the average American? What they're like sheeple. Whatever table they get in a restaurant, that's fine with them. Next to a door, next to a toilet, a dish. A rattling, that's fine. You put them in a restaurant, that whatever they serve them, they don't know how it tastes, but it tastes good. How was it? Terrific. What'd you have? I have no idea, but it was good. Whatever she ate, I ordered. I can't be that way. Maybe now with this homeopathic spray, I have a chance to be the average American, and then I may be able to take a position in the election. You know, and if this keeps up, I may actually say that I'm either a Republican or supporting. I would never support Obama. I don't think I'd go that far. But I could theoretically, if I continue to feel as good as I do on this homeopathic sinus spray, I might endorse McCain. Say, by golly, he's a great American. By golly, he's a great American. He follows Rush, that's why. I mean, you know, if you follow Rush, you could get up there and read the phone book and they'll think you're a great American. Then where are we? I swear, not, something's wrong. I better really agitate myself tonight somehow. Something's got to bother me. I was watching a TV show last night called I Survived. I really like these crazy shows like on court TV, not reality TV. Court TV. They show you police chases. I like that. Then I like Wildest Moments. I like that. But there's a show called I Survived, which is actually quite good. The crimes are so horrendous, you can't even describe what was done to these people and how they got through it. There was one last night with a girl who her friend was raped, murdered, killed. She was next. And the fiend threw her off a bridge, and she was 18 years old. This girl is like a hero. The one problem with the show is they don't show you the perpetrators. They always hide and mask who did it, which I don't understand why. If they showed who did it, it would be a better show. Like Dominic Dunn's Lifestyles of the Rich and Infamous, I like as well, because he shows you the bad guy, the rich bad guy or woman, you know, who hired a hitman to kill the wife, or the wife killed the husband. That's a pretty good show. And he gets malicious. I like that about Dunn. He actually takes a position and gets vicious and calls them names. He did one on Palm Beach and the fake society there in Palm Beach. I like that one. All the nouveaus and the poseurs and the, I mean, what's old money? Old money is new money two generations ago. What does it mean? Old money means the grandfather was the crook. Now they have a grandson who does nothing but ride around in a Rolls Royce and posture day and night. Oh, look, different strokes for different folks. Why I'm calm, not gasping for oxygen. Oh, here's a Dominic. Oh, Dominican Republic. I thought it said Dominic Dunn. Dominican Republic to pay Olympic. Do you care about the Olympics? I could care less. What is this every few years, another Olympics? Like, who goes to these things? I don't care about the Olympics. Maybe in the ancient days of Greece when they were in Marathon, okay. Who cares about the Olympics? Is there that much sports madness that you care about the Olympics? I could care less. I do not care who wins anything. I don't care any of it, about any of it. China, Schmein, it doesn't matter to me. All right, that's it for a show. Thank God it's over. Hey, does anyone got that sinus medication for me?
Savage.